tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Yeah. Go ahead, Jules.
Nobody knows where they might end up.
I'm in the basement.
Nobody knows. Oh, snapping like a white girl every week.
Wait.
Oh, Ramon. Oh, Ramon.
Hey, what's going on, you guys? It's the Grey's Anatomy After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. How you doing? Jason J. Carter here in the hot seat. Hello, Julie.
Holla. I'm Julie Parton, and you can join the conversation on Twitter, J-U-L-I-E-P-A-R-T-I-N.
And also follow me on Twitter at JDC Forever, and also the hashtag Grey's ABTV is what we're rolling tonight. We're down to two men tonight, Star Session and Kristen Strange.
And...
You did it. You did it, Julie.
All right. So I came last week sick because I didn't want to miss
because
I love the show, right?
Yes.
And little did I know the Black Plague is more contagious than I thought. And I took out both girls. They are both home with fevers and bronchitis.
It's okay. You know what? Like I always say, when you get sick, your body weight's on point. You get them abs popping. I'm
the
so shallow.
The three of us carpooled together. There was no way they were getting out of that cesspool.
Right. It was a cesspool of disgustingness.
So, sorry, girls, and let that be a lesson to everybody at home. Stay away if you're sick.
Yeah. But see, here in LA, I think ambition is too high. People will work, like, even when they're dying. You know,
I know. That's how I've always been. I just don't usually see the repercussions of people getting sick that I know and not being able to come.
Well, at least you're not contagious because I can't get the girl. How are you guys doing? Hope you had a fantastic week. Grey's Anatomy, Season 11, Episode 11. All we can do is cry. Tonight, all day, people have been tweeting, well, from the East Coast because they see it first.
Right.
You know that tonight was the episode that we finally got the closure to J'April and all of that.
Which, to me, that was so fast.
Yeah.
This happened fast. I predicted this going on a lot longer.
No. She popped out. That birth tonight of the baby was like, and done.
I think it was supposed to be because she was induced and it was a really small baby.
I know.
But still, as somebody who's been induced before... It took, I kid you not, 4 days.
Yeah. Well, but
it took 4 days.
You're also an itty-bitty person, though.
So is she. We met her, remember?
Right. Well,
she's petite.
But we're speaking in Grays. In the land of Grays, no one's petite. They're all, like, superhuman, right? But, I mean, it was like she popped out that baby like she was passing a kidney stone. It was just like, and done.
It was more peaceful than a kidney stone.
Right.
It was literally like... peaceful and serene, but we jump ahead.
Yes.
What has been funny about tonight is that just around the studio, we're talking about Grey's Anatomy. People are like, season 11.
That show is still
on. 11, 11. Nobody else gets to say that in the studio.
Okay. And then they're shocked that shows that the show is still on the air for that long. Hello, special SVU, Law and Order. It's like season 99. You know what I'm saying? Like, really? Come on. Grey's is a fantastic drama. It's still number one rated show. So, yeah, that's why it's still on, ladies and gentlemen. Let's dive into tonight's show. Julie, first of all, a lot of fire tonight, a spiritual fire. Me and Julie were thinking, like, damn. There's a lot of fire tonight.
It was thought-provoking episode. We had a spiritual conversation in the middle of it. I'm sure all of you at home had the same thing.
Julie found out that I actually pray, and she was quite shocked. She was like, Jason, you pray?
No, this was how it was. Something I pray about. I said, I didn't know you pray. And he goes like this, yes, I pray.
Because Julie thinks I'm this heathen.
No, I just said it as a matter of fact. Oh, that's good to know.
Yes, I do pray.
So what was crazy about this is I think, and I don't know for certain, this was Kepner's first episode narrating.
No. She had the shooter.
I don't think she narrated.
No, she's
that.
Narrated before. I don't think she narrated the whole episode, but I'm okay. Pretty sure in the past she has narrated. And here's the thing about narration that I really enjoyed the writers and Shonda allowing other characters to narrate, especially when Christina would narrate. But, you know, we got so used to Meredith narrating because the show initially was all about Meredith Grey. And it's so funny how the evolution of the show has taken it so far away.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
From Meredith, mm-hmm. sometimes that you forget, like, oh, I should be saying this probably after Buzz, you're gonna kill me, but I forget Meredith's even on the show sometimes.
No,
like,
I totally agree with you.
Like tonight, she was just
she was a minor character tonight.
Fly by. Yeah, she fell into the ranks of Bailey, Karev. Just, you know, one liners, get your day rate, you know, get your contractual, fulfill your contractual obligation.
Oh, I thought you wanted coffee and check signs.
Okay, you're done. You know, you can go wash off all your makeup. But we saw a lot of cool things happening. We saw the return of the Chief and Catherine.
Yeah, so they're all going into the chapel, which I don't really remember seeing the chapel at the hospital before.
There's always one in the hospital.
There was a beautiful moment. Each one of them was lighting a candle, maybe not, in honor of the baby that was coming. And we just saw each of them have a moment with the higher power.
Right. And they all had their own dialogue. I think that, you know, tonight was the running theme was about, jumping ahead, but who cares? April said, you know, I've given my life to Christ. I give my life to God. I have been faithful. You know, I walked with Christ my whole life. And she said, I felt like God was laughing at me tonight. And I...
It's not just. She kept saying that. It's not just.
Right. You know, and the people always, you know, on Twitter and on Instagram, you see all these quotes every day about, you know, how the Lord works and all these things. And it was just, tonight was very powerful for me because I too have felt that way. I'm sure we've all felt that way. Not to get uber duper spiritual or religious, because that's not what I'm trying to go for with this, what I'm trying to say. But that was, you know, really powerful because here she is losing her first, her only child.
Right.
Kind of gruesomely, actually, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
And then, you know, you see, it was just the whole theme was about faith and about having hope, because we also see in a scene Amelia and Edwards talking about, you know, you shouldn't be a surgeon if you can't have hope.
Yeah. It was all about faith. It was all about hope. And it has been for a couple of episodes.
Yeah.
And last week at the very end, they, you know, promoed. We would find out the test results and we didn't. But right at the top of the hour, we find out type 2. Mm-hmm. And for me, this entire episode was sudden. I'm not ready to deal with it. I cannot believe that they started the episode with it's type 2, and by the end of it, baby's gone.
Right.
This was sudden to me. I really felt like we had at least a few more weeks of this going on. I don't feel like she was that far along in her pregnancy. I think they decided to induce once she realized the baby was actually already in pain and limbs were breaking inside her.
Well, and also, you know, with that said, Julie, you have to wonder what's the recourse now after she, because throughout the court, we see that she has this epiphany and she's like, you know what? I get it. I'm okay with it, whatever. But at the same time,
I want to say something to clear the air.
Clear the air.
So Dr. Gina Davis says these babies with type 2 typically last a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
And Mama Avery had one of her most beautiful motherly scenes ever. When she's like, you will have the baby and you will hold it till God takes it.
Right.
Beautiful. I have never seen that woman nurture, and she nailed it tonight. And it was to her daughter-in-law. And so anyway, we have this. We see her hold the baby. We see in the next scene, she's just in the wheelchair. Are we 100% sure this baby's gone?
You don't know the baby. So, I mean,
don't you think they'd be with it if it was still alive?
Well, why would they be? Why? But it could go either way.
Okay.
But you are right about, and I agree with you 199% about Catherine Avery. And it's good to see her back. First of all, after Buzz, it's good to see her back in a vulnerable, not being super rich, you know, Harper Avery chick.
She looked natural. I think this was her natural hair.
Yeah. I mean, thank God, natural hair. Debbie Allen, who do you
gorgeous.
Had it?
Gorgeous.
But yeah, and she, I agree with you. It was really nice to see her nurture and to say those things like, you know, it's going to happen. And we've seen a lot of that happen with Grace, with Bailey. And I remember there's a storyline with, the young Jewish girl who had a strain. I don't think it was Tay-Sachs, or it could have been something. I don't know what she had. It was season four. And
that's,
you know,
why I don't remember it. I was a teenager.
And, you know, Bailey tells the father, wants to take the daughter to Mexico for these, you know, treatments that are cutting edge, like only done, you know, abroad. And Bailey's like, she's going to go now. You have to hold her, help her go. So we've seen this a lot, but tonight I feel was the most, I could wrap my head around it, seeing Catherine tell her that, because what else can you say? What else can you say? How could you offer comfort in that situation but to say those things and to be that literal, but also to weave in into Pepper's spirituality into it? It was brilliant. Whoever wrote that, you deserve an Emmy right now.
Yeah, I would totally, absolutely concur. And especially because Avery was there for her in every way that he knew how, right, but he didn't know what to say. Right. He was going through it, and he was suffering the loss just as much as her.
Absolutely.
But we see, and we know that he's not a spiritual man. We know he doesn't believe in God. We see him in the chapel, and he says God, and he laughs, because obviously that's not something that he's used to. And right, he just says, come through for April. He, sure, was praying specifically for her.
Right.
She loves you. Come through for her. And that was a really powerful moment to me.
And that's what you do for the people you love. You sacrifice, you know, your happiness for theirs, regard whatever it is, you know, whatever, mm-hmm, it is. And so it was nice to see that. And also, he was really emotional. And I think it was really, this is not the first time we've seen the chapel, actually, with Addison and her brother Archer when he had the worms. I know. But, you know, she was there, and she even says, I'm a wasp. I don't go to church. I don't pray. But it was nice to see Jackson. I don't believe his vulnerability sometimes, because I feel he's too pretty to be. He always doesn't. Jackson, believe it or not, after Brothers, I know you're gonna hate me. I'm gonna get a lot of flack on YouTube, but I feel like Jackson has the least amount of depth when it comes to.
What about more than Derek?
Okay, they're both depthless, if that's the word. They both are lacking of depth for me. But tonight it was good to see him emotional, and it was good to see him, you know, there. And also it was nice to see Joe and Stephanie praying and lighting a candle, because she's like, I delivered this horrible news to them.
I wish stuff on them. I wished all of this evil on them.
And, you know, another scene that happened was with Izzy and George, you know, when Izzy had cancer, and Callie's like, I feel bad. I wish I prayed for the death of Isabel Stevens every day, you know? Right. So it's not to laugh. It's comical and also very powerful at the same time.
There needed to be a little bit of relief. Comedic relief.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. To be super honest, I don't like the way this unfolded. It was too sudden. We shouldn't get the test results and lose the baby right then. Not even anticlimactic. Like, I just wasn't ready. And this is not realistically how it would have happened. I have, like I said before, I have a friend who's gone through this. And if you're interested in knowing more, look up the hashtag Luca Knows Heart. But whenever they were delivering the baby, the families flew in from across the country because they knew this baby might last a few hours. They all wanted to get a chance to hold it. Right. There is no way in heck that her abrasive mother wouldn't have been there too, you know?
Yeah.
Like, why?
Crazy mom was absent.
So, okay. So not that I'm saying that the way that it unfolded wasn't beautiful. It was just the timing. It feels rushed, and I don't feel ready as a viewer or even as a person to have seen that so soon. I didn't think the baby was going to be born tonight.
Yeah. Well, to add to that, Jules, I feel that as far as hyping the promotion of the show and the promotion of the storyline, it's like the farewell to Christina. How many months did that go on? I mean, Sandro, I loved you, but it was like farewell to Christina for
seriously.
A
we have been watching the death
of this
of
baby.
Christina's no, the death of Christina's relationship. We watched that for like 5 seasons.
Right.
We couldn't get 5 episodes of this.
Right.
And April was so confused and just so not going back and forth. Will there be a miracle? Will there not? And then she had this breakthrough moment with the patient.
Which was amazing. Because we're wondering, first of all, okay, AfterBuzz, was it weird when you saw this nurse eating Jell-O? Just randomly, the camera swoops through her, nurse eating Jell-O. You never see random shots like that.
Yeah.
I was like, why is she eating Jell-O? No, something was up. And then we see her looking and listening to Meredith and them eating Jell-O. I'm like, what? She's some random nurse eating Jell-O. That never happens on Grey's. But come to find out, the story is way more deep than that. And actually very kind of sad because...
Super sad.
Super, yeah. And then
super sad and super strange.
Both. It was strange.
Almost
and sad.
Too strange to be attached to.
But the way they tied April to it and the way they made it come full circle was very good. You know, she lost her fiance after they were coming back from to seeing a site for their wedding.
Yeah.
And the doctors comforted. Gates said, look, you're a mess. Here's scrubs. Go eat. Stay here as long as you need. Whenever you're ready, you know. And so.
And she took them literally, grabbed a clipboard, and pretended to be a doctor.
A nurse, and ate the Jell-O.
Yeah.
So, you know, you said April has this epiphany. Let me sidebar this real quick, but I almost feel, Julianne, after Buzzers, that I would have loved to see April go through this alone and not have Jackson, and it really, really feel and just go the same way Lexi lost, went ape crap over the shooter, and the same way they have that whole process and that whole like, you go crazy, you're depressed, you're going through it. We didn't really get that.
I see what you're saying, and it's a brilliant point, because if, and there's a slim to none chance, I might be the only person who is even reading into this, if that baby's still alive, there's a reason she hasn't gone through that moment. But a crucial thing that was missing from this episode that better be in future episodes, otherwise it's just a gaping hole the writers missed, is April dealing with this with God. She needed to be there in front of a huge giant fire of all those candles that never extinguished. Yo,
fire hazard, the house down boots. I was like, why is this room not on fire? It was like full on fireworks blazing.
How are
in
those
there.
Still going?
Like full on.
And so I don't know if we were supposed to see Amelia in place of her dealing with this, but that's not okay. We need to see April deal with this one-on-one with God, like we saw the rest of the characters dealing with it.
Exactly. And because then it's not believable for something of this magnitude. And I know where we keep talking about this, but for real, it was the only thing that mattered in tonight's episode. Really, it was.
Well, I mean, it's been leading up to this. Their relationship was one of the huge points of the entire last season.
Right.
And then this has been them and the whole episode. Like at least three or four leading up to this.
Absolutely.
I really should have felt more prepared, though.
So, Jules, you hit the nail on the head that if this is it for J'April and the baby storyline, if this is actually where it ends, epic fail. But if there's more backlash, if the tsunami is coming after the earthquake, then let it be good. Because realistically, we connect with Grey's Anatomy because we experience what they go through. A lot of the stuff they've had on their emotions and stuff, you can relate to. So we want to connect with the story. We want to be able to be like, wow, that sucks. Way beyond how much we've been saying, wow, that sucks.
Right.
And if April doesn't go through it, then I'll be really disappointed.
She will. She has to. The show drags stuff on. We just need to have a little bit of faith. Look at how long Arizona grieved her leg.
Right.
She's going to grieve that leg for that many seasons. Yeah. We're going to see more.
Even the leg disappeared quickly, though. They move on quick. Grace moves on. They grieve, and then it's a wrap, and you're on to the next. It's like you're it's like Destiny's Child. You are temporary. You're not going to be in the group. You're not Beyonce. You may be gone next week. But I do, getting back to the patient story of the nurse, the faux nurse. We're going to call her faux nursa. She awesome, because for me, like, just show the way they, and there's a lot of flashbacks tonight too. What do you call that?
Experimental filmmaking.
Right, yeah.
But what was funny is that everyone that was praying for the situation or just in the travel about it was having flashbacks to April and Avery.
Right.
Not just things that they'd been a part of, just those two.
Right. And then just too much. And then, you know, we also have, we see the chief and Catherine, they talk about where they left off with Christina. And he's like, how long has it been? 6 months. And it was nice to see them put their differences aside because, you know.
Well, she said, it's been 6 months and it took this for you to call me. Like, she wanted him to call her.
Right.
For other reasons.
Yeah.
Do you think she was waiting around for his call?
Well, she loved him. Absolutely. Love never dies. And I would, if I was that into someone, if my husband now, me and him, something happened, he didn't call me, I'd be like, why haven't you called me? You know, like, you know, off your boot thing, you know? So yeah,
if my husband didn't call me for 6 months, I would chase him down.
Yeah, stalker.
He would have to hire someone to keep me away.
But yeah, Catherine's back and she needs to be back. And I didn't see her, maybe I missed this, but I didn't see her comfort Avery once. Did I miss that?
I think she was comforting them as a couple.
Got it. Okay.
Honestly, like, and this isn't, you know, a sweeping generalization that applies to everyone. But when it comes to pregnancy and infant loss, it's more so, from what I've seen, the woman that feels it and the husband that feels pain on behalf of the woman. So yeah. I think that's really the biggest pain. Obviously, he feels grieved about his son, but he's more just thinking like, oh, how's my wife going to keep it together and how can I be
right
for
be
her?
The man. Exactly. I want to say what's up to some of our Twitter followers right now. To Christina, you know, she says, Jay, I know you're not such a fan of J-Po, but this episode was nostalgic. I think I know why we're still attached 11 seasons later. Okay, girl. Hey, you know what? I feel you on that. And also, Jacqueline at Dynamo Jack says, zero depth, totally agree. Remember Callie said you just what you was going to tweet. Save wavelength, you know, basically saying, good memory on the storyline. It was season five. Thank you. Yes, I got my seasons right because people call me out on that. But yeah, you know, thank you guys for
somebody, CD Olerva 83 said, is it accurate for me to see Happy Grey's Day to you guys? Because it seems like it won't be. Nailed it, girl. They're even promoting Tears of Grey. Like, get ready. You're going to hate it. It's going to be sad, sad, sad. Sad.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what this season. Normally, Grey's has a theme of the season. You know, after the shooter was about rebuilding.
Tears of Grey. That's the and that's why. Don't do this to us. 11 seasons in, we want a swan song. Right. We don't need to see our favorite couple break up and our second favorite couple have their baby die. Jason. Drama, maybe, but pure heartbreak? No.
No,
this is just bummer.
Because life isn't fair, as we see tonight. But speaking about life isn't fair.
This isn't parenthood. I want unrealistic stuff happening to them.
No, if Grey's is going to end after buzzers, and you're going to hate me for this, but I'm going to say it. If Grey's is going to end, I want it to end in tragedy and not someone being killed, but sometimes you can't always get your happy. As Meredith and Christina say, am I going to get my happy today? You may not get your happy. I think.
Yeah, in life, but on this show and shows in general, you should end with a happy note if you can.
Well, a breakthrough tonight we saw with J-April, and I'm going to stop using that because I think it's so stupid, with April Kepner was when she comforted Fonersa and said, you know, it helped her see. I feel like what I got from that, and maybe after Buzzers you can, you know, you probably disagree or agree or have your own ideas on it, but I feel that she... got the answer to about her with God and know what her purpose was. Not so much her purpose, but why things happen. And maybe, and this is a far stretch and maybe a sweeping generalization, but she probably felt that maybe it was this happened to her to provide comfort for somebody else.
Yeah. I mean, that's often the thing that people figure out that makes them ultimately conquer what they're going through.
Right.
This happened to me so that I can minister to other people in the future.
Sure.
Yeah, and I mean, that's quick for her to realize that, and...
very quick.
Honestly, if I were her, I mean, I don't know about the bones breaking in my body or whatever, but I would have delayed it longer. It was a sweet moment when they gave him the baby. It was so tiny.
Tiny, yeah. I wonder where they find those babies. Like,
that was fake.
But it was a bomb fake baby. Like, do they get that where, like,
way better than American Sniper.
Yeah, Party City.
The fake babies are made by the costume department. The real babies are actually 15 days old. Yeah.
Who cast them?
Yeah, you know what? Talk to some of them before.
Shauna's like, I am the baby whisperer.
That does bring, it's a good segue to one of the, I didn't know I was pregnant patients. That was, I'm surprised we haven't
and
seen
I'm
this
done.
Before. We haven't seen this before. Have we? Have we, Mr. Grace-a-pedia?
Yes, we have, actually.
I didn't know I was pregnant. We had one of those?
The girl, hello, when, yes, the prom night where the girl drops, season three, where the girl goes to prom, gives birth to the kid, and didn't know, it's like going through it, gives birth to the kid, leaves the kid there to die.
But we haven't seen a patient come in.
Right,
and
but it's a long time.
Heaving
like,
and
Addison,
on the table. And
then
it's
Addison's
actually...
all mad. And it's like, how do you do that to a baby? Yeah, we've seen it before. Just not someone that was shot in the neck or shot. And then it's like, oh, by the way, sweetie, you're pregnant.
I know.
I'm pregnant.
It doesn't usually happen like that. I mean, they have shows and this happens to women more often than you would expect. But most of the time, they just think it's cramping or something.
Well, how do you know? Unless you're like a real... Jules, let me ask you a question. I can never have children. So, as a woman, how in the hell do you not know you are not with child? Or you are not with child?
Have no idea.
I mean...
because that experience of pregnancy encompasses... every part of your mind, emotion, body, soul, everything. It is so painful and just has you completely off your game. I have no idea. However, women that have gone it through before, I mean, most of the time they don't notice that they have a little bit of extra weight. Some women, sorry to say this word, continue to menstruate, so that's why they don't know.
Hey.
I've heard it happening. A woman with multiple sclerosis had twins, didn't know, couldn't feel it. One woman ran a marathon. Thought she was cramping from the marathon. Turns out she was having a baby.
I mean, okay. And then they're like, how did this happen? You know how it happened. what do you mean? Like, how did this happen? Where was I, girl? You know how it happened.
For a minute there. So the husband's there. They tried forever. This is a miracle baby. They were told they couldn't have one. Right. And they just kept saying, girl, you are. Sorry about it.
It's crowning. Get ready.
I know, right? What was so crazy? She wanted to see her baby so bad. And Bailey's like, nope, no time. Goosh. Yeah. So Bailey had to save her because she wouldn't have been able to see her baby. And Bailey stopped it. But so the husband came in. I was thinking for a minute, maybe she was having an affair on the husband. And that's why she was able to get pregnant. But I guess not.
Oh, so you thought the husband was shooting blanks. Okay. Yeah. Is that what you're trying to say?
Shooting blanks?
The husband is always
pistols.
At fault.
Right. How did she get shot? Did we miss that?
I think we did. So here's the thing. After we come in and watch the show, we watch it on a satellite. And so sometimes, you know, we have to rewind to make sure we see everything because we want to make sure we give you guys the most comprehensive, cohesive review of the show. And there's some things we miss. All I know is she got shot and she had a baby. Boom. Done with that.
And they fixed that. It was really, really cute. She ended up making it through some great doctor work, of course. The husband was so overwhelmed holding this little baby.
I know.
And he took her in there. She said, there she is. That was a sweet moment.
Can I ask you a question?
Go for it.
I don't have children of my own. And I always wonder, what is it like when you finally got to hold your daughter? What, like, tell me.
So a lot of women actually don't experience a connection right away, and then they feel tons of mother's guilt about it. But I was lucky enough to be one of those people, and you really do get a surge of emotional bonding hormones right when you give birth. But I am not kidding you. It is like they hand you that nasty thing because it is tiny and it is goopy and gross. And you look at it and you've never loved anything more in your entire life and you've never been more fulfilled.
Really?
And you're like,
I'm sorry.
You're like, if I died right now, I just experienced the best moment of my life. But I don't want to die because I just want to live to watch this thing for the rest of my life. It is that powerful. It's crazy.
God, and I will never experience that. Wow. I feel like I've been cheated. God, why?
Just get a puppy or something.
A puppy? Crap, no.
So I guess all that to say, like, whenever April experienced this, there's got to be this moment of, I'm so glad I got to meet you, and then grief upon grief upon grief that she won't see him grow up. And they had a realization like that. We can't name him Norbert. That won't be our kid.
Well, name of the baby was?
Samuel Norbert Avery.
Why? Why? You know, what, why?
It was lovely.
Why? I've always wondered, who am I to judge a name? But really, I'm going to judge a name. Why would you name your kid that?
I loved it. Oh, that was
Samuel.
Great.
That name alone. I mean, okay, look, probably there's some afterbuzzers named Samuel who are going to hate me. Sam is a great name, but I mean, why not name your kid like Badger or Ryder or?
And that's why we should be happy Jason's never going to have
Anthony.
Kids.
Anthony.
Badger.
Fox. Hunter.
No, what is, you have some obsession with like hunter-gathering names. Jason has kids eventually. He's like, this is my son Shepherd.
No, this is my kid Moose. But no, okay, but yeah, cute name. But the whole epiphany April had was, I feel the whole, like you said, Jules, the whole ending is very weird, very lacking, and very weird again, because it's like, okay, she was going through it. She just gave birth to a human being. Is it alive? We don't know. And then she had this epiphany, like, this is what she's supposed to do with the rest of her life. Or
it was heartbreaking to see them walking and him pushing her in the wheelchair, whether the baby's gone or not. And I do think it is gone. It was just strange that we actually didn't see that.
I think it's gone too.
But we do need to talk about Amelia, because
The words right out of my mouth. Amelia, for
it
sure.
It feels like week after week, and I did not watch Private Practice. I watched it because I love Grey's, and I couldn't stand that show.
Right.
It was, still cannot stand that show. So I stopped, and so I don't know what happened with Amelia, but week after week, we get all of these comments and on social media, why aren't they saying that this happened to Amelia too?
Right.
Did you watch Private Practice?
I did.
So what happened with Amelia's baby?
I don't remember because I wasn't that invested.
Obviously you weren't. If you can remember what happened 10 years ago on this show, down to the minute, you obviously didn't like Private Practice
that much. The
only
thing from Private Practice I remember was Violet being held captive by some chick who
cut out her baby. Katie! Yeah. That's about the time I stopped because I was like, this show is just macabre.
Right.
Nasty.
Yeah.
So we got a moment there. Amelia, this episode was on. She was on. Her hair looked normal.
Great.
Finally. And she was playing around with somebody's brain. Well, we must have not been paying that close of attention, or they were just kind of skipping the beginning of these patient stories. Because she was playing with someone's brain, trying to bring the sight back, and she's like, he gave permission to this. And Stephanie's like, knock it off. You have to stop. You have to stop. She just kept playing with his brain. I'm going to try to bring his sight back, because this is what I'm going to do for Dr. Gina Davis, too.
Right. Dr. Gina Davis.
So the person wakes up. He can see. That was cool. That was a fun moment. Don't know what she did, because it really looked like she was molding his brain like Jell-O.
Gray's magic.
And she goes out and has a cow on Stephanie.
Well, and the reason I think the reason why she had the cow on Stephanie, and maybe I'm seeing this differently, but it's because I feel like Stephanie was doubting her.
Oh, absolutely.
And Amelia, if we really get into Amelia's backstory, she's a recovering addict. She's an addict. You know, she's been in her brother's shadow. Her brother, there's a lot of things. I feel like Amelia is building her self-esteem up. From the time she stepped foot in Grace Sloan, that hospital, it's been about her proving herself, because she's been labeled as the addict. She had a problem. She's this. She's that. She's here to prove herself. And if in your life, if you've ever had a setback, or you've been told you can't do something, you want to prove not only to yourself, but to that person or those people. So I think that Amelia's MO or her theme for this season is to get back on track and become amazing, because I was not so amazing on the other show.
Yeah, I
can. and so tonight, with Edwards doubting her, or Edwards not having hope, because you see, Dr. Gina Davis is all about no hope. Hope don't exist, sweetie.
Yeah.
But
she's definitely in the no hope camp.
Amelia has always been, no, I can do this. She always says that, those blue bright eyes, like, I can
will
beat this.
Go yeah, where she, it is impossible.
She's like,
and
Star
I will
Trek.
Push
I will,
further.
Unknown planets. So
I'm more on that side, by
me,
the way.
Me too. Absolutely.
There is always hope. I will always try something else. I do not quit.
And so Edwards, you know, kind of was like, you know, you can't do this indirectly. And Amelia's like, listen, if you don't have hope, you should not be a surgeon. Kudos to Amelia for that, because that's her truth. And quite possibly she could be right, you know. And I feel like Edwards is getting bitch slapped left and right. You know, poor Edwards. Poor Stephanie. But, you know, Meredith, George, Karev, Izzy, they all got bitch slapped. They all had to go through, had their growing pains to be put through their paces. So good for Amelia.
And the thing about it is that I think Amelia also was saying, I chose you to be on this case because you saw the potential. Mm-hmm. And at this point in time, you're going to hold me back, because I'm about to try and attempt something crazy. She's going to try to save this woman whose tumor has been attempted by all kinds of doctors unsuccessfully.
Right.
And she does not need that doubting in her OR.
Right.
I think that was the other half of it.
Right. And so, you know, it's doctors are ego driven, and so they need, and it's just like when you're trying to do something, be it book a job, buy a car, anything in life that requires, that has some kind of chance that it cannot go in your favor, you want people on your team. You want people to believe in you as much as you believe in yourself, because we're human. We always have doubt. And if your right-hand chick or dude isn't doing that for you, They gotta go.
You don't need people in your life saying things that aren't going to inspire you or that are going to beat you down. I see what you're saying. So then at the very end, when Amelia walked in and all the candles were lit, she said, my baby lived 45 minutes, right? Something like that.
43 minutes, yeah.
And I don't know if it's public knowledge in the hospital that she had this baby or not, but Owen sort of acted like he knew, mm-hmm. and just reached over and grabbed her hand.
And someone also said, is that going to be a love interest
for
Amelia?
I know,
because
ever since Kristen, who's our co-host on the show, mentioned that they might be getting together, we've been seeing Callie and Owen.
I think they should have a threesome. Just kidding. Maybe
not a threesome, but maybe a love triangle.
A love triangle. Well, that is kind of a threesome.
Maybe he's starting to. That means all three are involved. I think it's more so going to be, oh, what if they do go that way? No, they should not.
Hey.
They should not. Bow, bow. This is not Sister Wives spin here.
Ew, no. But poor, because that leads me to say that Owen needs some business on the show this season. Owen, I feel like Sean is like, look, season 11, you guys all have contracts. I'm going to put you to work some way, shape, or form. You may have a walk-on, you know, but you're going to be seen. So, and poor Owen. Owen
needs to get some, and we need more men. And we're getting more men.
Right.
So I that was a moment. I didn't know if it was necessarily a romantic moment or not, but it was a moment. It was big.
It was a moment. And rightfully so at the end of the show.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Before we run out of time, we have to talk about this odd thing that's happening with Meredith.
The Jell-O? Just kidding. Yeah, Meredith. She's creeping. Meredith. The theme song for Meredith is "So I Creep." Yeah, just keep it on the down low, because Meredith is trying to keep it on the down low. And next week's preview.
Yeah, she just keeps trying to get a babysitter. I need a babysitter. And she wants Karev, and nobody knows why. Karev's not going to be a good choice for that. Maggie's like, why not me? Chief's like, definitely not me.
Not you. Yeah.
She needs a babysitter. I don't know why she needs a babysitter now, when she can't just use the hospital or leave them in the back room, which she's been doing since they were born.
Four seasons now.
But finally, it comes out she needs it for an emergency sexcapade moment with her husband. Did she mention that?
Well, who else would it be if it wasn't for? Maybe it's sexting or videos or sex vlogging.
But in previews for next week, we see Stephanie ends up watching the kids, and she wanted to. She wants to get to know her niece-ish, kind of adopted, not adopted. Wow, I don't even know how they're related, but let's call her niece,
sure.
Zola and Bailey. And she's like, Derek called you a bunch of times. Whatever you were doing,
no,
you were not
with
him.
You said Edwards. You mean Maggie Pierce?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. Maggie. Like, yeah, Maggie.
Yeah. What? They all look alike, Julie?
Jason, no. There's just so many characters, and those names sound like each other.
I know. Maggie, Edwards, they all... Yeah, I would have got it confused.
So, anyway... the previews are never right. The previews are constantly cruel. The previews suck. But they're trying to make us believe that Meredith's cheating.
I would love to see that.
Jason!
Oh, wait, am I fired?
Shame!
No, I mean, because look, listen, Meredith hasn't been interesting for a quick minute. And and if you know, it would give, if Meredith is cheating, it would give a whole new layer to Grey's. I feel like every time, around this time with Grey's, there's an arc. The arc ended, and there's several arcs, but the J-April arc kind of came to a conclusion, so we need something else. We're going to also get the conclusion of Dr. Gina Davis, because she's, you know, something's going to happen with her.
She was hitting on Owen.
So we see that, but if Meredith is cheating, and okay, if Meredith is cheating, great storyline. If it's stupid and she's like yoga or doing Pilates or, I don't know, basket weaving or crocheting, I may not be back next week, you guys. I'm sorry.
I call it. Jason's coming back. He loves the show. He can't stay away.
I can't stay away.
Can't stay away from the show. Can't stay away from me.
Absolutely. So, yeah. But tonight's show, I do think it was not a filler episode. It definitely had a good message. It definitely had a great message.
This was a big episode, but it caught me extremely off guard. I feel very strongly that they should have given the test results last week, sure, and led up to her having the baby this week.
Yeah.
Because then it would have broken it apart. I feel blindsided. Everyone knows I love April as a character.
She's great.
And I was not prepared to see her go through this so quickly and nonchalantly. Not like it was nonchalantly, just I guess so quickly to the moment that we got the results.
Yeah. It was just a wrap. It was very it's like New Year's Eve. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Happy New Year.
Oh my gosh, it was nothing like that.
I mean, okay.
It was heartbreaking and tragic.
No, it was
heartbreaking and tragic, and I felt attached. I feel attached, but I guess what I'm saying is, like, it's one of those things, sort of like the end of How I Met Your Mother. Like, did they really just do that? I need a minute to process.
What happened at the end of How I Met Your Mother, by the way?
Spoiler alert. Cover your ears if you're planning on watching this season.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
After.
Spoiler alert.
All right, we get it.
Spoiler alert.
Wow.
Okay, so after 9 seasons, he met the mother and she died.
Oh, that's right.
That's what it feels like to me. I feel like, I mean, I knew the possibility of this baby not making it was coming. I just didn't know it would be this week. I guess what I'm saying. And it hurt. And I need to go to chapel to deal with this.
Right?
I need a candle. I need to talk with God.
And you just don't light the whole room on fire, because I swear, it was like blow torches in that chapel.
It really was.
It was very, very beautiful and very poetic. Well, there you have you guys. Episode 11 of season 11, Grey's Anatomy. Great show. Jules, on a scale of 1 to 10, I would say it was definitely a 9.
I don't know. I feel sacrilegious even rating this.
Okay.
It was, I don't want to say it was good or bad. It was heartbreaking, and it was, I don't know. It wasn't everything that I wanted it to be, but at the same time, I still
got something
love
from
it.
Right,
yeah. I loved seeing them all light the match. That was just beautiful.
Right.
I love seeing them all talk to God. We don't see characters on TV, let alone these characters on that level very often.
Right.
So, loved seeing that. But next week, we should maybe move on.
Yeah. Predictions. Hello. Let's do it.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Predictions.
I think we touched on a lot of possible predictions.
I don't think Meredith cheats. I think that they are just bait and switching us again with those previews. Ugh, will we really? Ever learn not to trust them?
No, we won't. We just get sucked in.
Seriously.
It's like going to TJ Maxx. You know you shouldn't go in there because you're going to spend money, but you do it anyway and you walk out with $100 worth of stuff you don't need. Same thing with Grace.
That's a great analogy.
Like Marshall.
I'm probably wearing something today I didn't need to buy from TJ Maxx.
Hello.
These pants.
Right.
Okay, anyway, so so next week I really feel like they're not cheating. I do think it's hilarious that Gina Davis is hitting on Owen. Don't think that's gonna happen, obviously. I do think Owen, man, I'm sort of seeing that love triangle now.
Yeah.
I'm seeing him develop feelings for both those women.
Good for him. I'm seeing a threesome on the horizon.
Callie has had enough heartbreak. She does not need that.
Callie does not need any more heartbreak. What she needs is to get her feet wet in a new towel. Boom.
You know what I missed from this episode? I know we're backtracking. Arizona didn't step up to the plate like I was hoping she would with all this training. Anyway, moving on. The other prediction that I have, I really think Dr. Pierce's love interest is right around the corner.
Ooh.
And it is about time. You go, Maggie.
You go, Maggie. I agree with all that. Absolutely. There you go. Predictions.
And hopefully light a candle, say a word to the big guy for our other co-hosts who I gave the black plague. Sorry, ladies. I won't come to work sick again. Sorry about that.
And if I'm not here next week, it's because Julie gave me Ebola.
No, I'm not like that.
She gave me avian flu.
All those things.
All right, you guys. Well, until next time, I am Jason J. Carter. Please follow me on social media at Twitter, JJC Forever, or on Instagram at Jason Carter Official. Always love talking with you guys. Thank you so much for watching.
And you guys can find me on all the social medias at Julie Partin, JULIEPARTIN.
See you guys.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.